an eventful week. Amen. And yet, we get to be here. A lot to be thankful for. A lot to give praise today. But without any further ado, we will get right into the lesson. And so, the icebreaker. If you could witness any miracle, what would it be?
Someone raised from the dead.
Someone raised from the dead. Anything else?
Changing of lives. I think it would have been interesting to see what God did when he made the leper whole.
Mm. Anything else? Missing limbs restored. The blind? The blind can see. The barren fruitful. The demoniac put in his right mind.
When they fed house and sick people from temptation
the thousands fed off of fishes and loaves. See somebody walk on water. Boy, oh boy. In January, huh?
Not in January.
You know, I await some of the things that God has promised. One of the things God has promised is that years ago, he promised that with this war, we have had more survivors than any other war we've ever had because of the advancement of our personal armor. As a result, we also have some of the most amputees we've ever had because of the IEDs. And one of the things that was promised in prayer is there would come a time when God would start to regrow those limbs in front of the church. One promise of a miracle that I wait to see was one of the first visions I ever got. I was praying. I was young in the church. I don't know how many, maybe a month or two in the church. And it was late. I'm praying, and I got a picture of a person, and they were burnt, unrecognizably burnt. Like the type you see in the VA after you pull them out. Nose burnt off, eyelids are gone, fingers been burnt off, hands melted. And you can't tell who this person was, who this person was supposed to be, nothing. But I saw them being put in a baptismal and knelt down. And I saw them go down in the name of Jesus, and when they came up, a girl came out, fully restored. And I've been waiting to see that. Because the sound she made when somebody handed her a mirror. was crazy. The sound that the church made when she came out of that water was crazy. I've been waiting for that. But I remember Brother Hernandez teaching me, be careful what miracle you want to see, because he might make you need it. So when it's like raised from the dead, oh, I don't mind if it's me. I don't mind if it's me.
You know?
Well, I'd like to stay dead. I'm hoping I could come back with at least some insight. I wouldn't mind, but I'd hate for it to be one of my kids needing that miracle. But today, we're going to look at Acts 4, verse 20. And the Holy Scripture states, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're going to be looking at this morning the purpose of the church. This is a powerful statement made by the disciples. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And yet, there are people that are preaching doctrines that are just astounding to me. Astounding to me. What astounds me even further is people don't read their Bible. I mean, it really shocks me. Now, I'm not saying that like I'm... Because there's days where even when I was sick, I struggled to get any reading in. So I'll kind of put it on the audio. But to tell you that my attention was on that rather than how I was feeling, that'd be disingenuous. It wouldn't be truthful. I just try not to make it a habit of not reading. Right. Reading is not hard. Getting myself to read is difficult. Praying is not hard. Getting myself to start praying is always the challenge. It's always the first 10 seconds of we're going to do this. And the reason I think it's crazy that you don't read your Bible is because you don't know if somebody's telling you the truth or not. The best lie is 99% truth. And it's just a little off. Ever so slightly. Just a little bit. And if you don't know, well, that sounds right. Sure. I've heard it preached. Just name it and claim it. Stamp Jesus' name on it. Well, isn't that what Jezebel did? She just takes signet rings, stamps whatever she wants. I mean, are you not preaching the heart of Jezebel right now? Oh, I can take the king's ring and I can make it come to pass because it's my will. To me, that's scary. It's terrifying. But right here in Acts 4:20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, demands that the church start seeing and hearing. Or you have no right to preach. We're commissioned to preach to the world. Preach what? The truth? Most certainly. The word? Absolutely. Also what you've seen and heard. What about your testimony? Your testimony is powerful. Your testimony truly is powerful because it tells people what God can do. And it puts any demonic spirit that's speaking to that person on notice. Because the God who did it once is about ready to do it again. Addiction has no place in this house except to leave. But the purpose of the church is to start to get spiritual sight and spiritual ears, that we may know what to speak. When we are commissioned to go preach, I find it amazing how many people, including myself, will complain about their wilderness experiences. Boy, I don't like them. I don't know about you. I don't like them. They're not comfortable. I've never been comfortable in them. And if it's comfortable, I probably brought myself there. I've never known God to make my wilderness a comfortable experience. He's made it a sustained experience. I will sustain you through this, but this is not going to be comfy. But the church was birthed out of the wilderness. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. And what did he preach? He preached repentance. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in this repentance. You need to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And here, this great prophet says there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize with fire. What an amazing thing to know what you're called to do and know what it's going to cause to happen. I am here to set something up so that the Lord can come in. I am here to make straight, and the Lord is going to do. The Lord's ministry is about ready to be initiated. That's powerful. That's powerful. And how did he know that? I believe he saw. I believe he heard. I believe there was things that let him know exactly what you need to say, exactly where you need to be, exactly what you need to be doing. He knew. And people started showing up. Even people who didn't believe started showing up. To where he's looking at them, "You brood of vipers. Who told you to flee from the wrath to come?" Boy, could you imagine that going out during our general conference? It's the last time you get to preach. There went your license. But what does Jesus do? Comes out of the water, and he's led into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted of the devil. He reclaimed the crown of authority. He reclaimed it. This is my world. Not really. I made this. And you know, I've noticed God loves to set up the opposition to think it will win. Which means if it looks like the enemy's winning, you need to start rejoicing. Because this is where God always lets them get. Because he gets prideful, and God just has this habit of just, "That's nice. No, you keep going. You keep going." And then smack. And he never learns. But he goes and he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what's amazing to me is the purpose of the church is to see and hear so we can declare who God is and what He's wanting to do. Because we are here to set the record straight of who the Lord really is. There are so many misconceptions about who God is in the world. We can't let that stand. We have to show them who our God really is. There's people running around. Why would God let evil happen? Well, one, that's our fault. That's our fault. Where it is most evil, you will find none of His commandments are followed. You go to any place on this earth where it is truly the darkest, it's because everything's being broken. That's our fault. We did it. When man sinned against God, we released this. Which is part of why what Jesus did is so amazing. Because if you study the offender versus the offended, if your brother has aught against you, leave the altar and go make it right with him. You need to go reconcile with the offended. And so what did he do? He made himself a man. He became the offender that offended the God-man relationship and present himself so he could be reconciled, all of us reconciled unto himself. This is God. And so when he comes out in the power, he's coming out to demonstrate. And the first thing he says is repent. Because repentance is not a one-time thing. The purpose of the church is to live in repentance. Live in repentance. You cannot sit here and say, well, I repented years ago. Well, you know what that is? That's once saved, always saved doctrine. That prayer covers all of this. And yet, Brother Hernandez taught me, he said, the most powerful thing God ever gave us to do is repent. And he said, you know why? He said, most Christians waste repentance on its lowest level, which is sin. And he said, repentance at its most powerful level is to turn from your will to His. And he said, why is repentance so powerful, Brother Mitchell? I said, I don't know, but you're about ready to tell me. And he said, because the enemy that's pursuing you can't follow you into it. They are incapable of repentance. He said, a dimension of repentance is the escape that he always gives access to. When it's He won't allow you to be tempted above. He will make a way. That way is repentance. Because you may not have sinned, but there's a desire for this temptation. God has never, the devil has never shown up and tempted me with something that I am not tempted by. He doesn't waste temptation like that. He doesn't come and be like, Mitchell, here's a plate of Brussels sprouts. I'm good. No, thank you. That was a wasted effort. And so, to realize that temptation is not his will, my will is to desire that thing. My will is to want that. Repent from it.
He said, this is what Job did. This is why Job is called a perfect man. Not because he never sinned, but because he lived a repentant lifestyle. Repentance and praise. Every morning, every evening. To the point that when the devil, the accuser, was asked, what did he do? He couldn't even come up with one thing he did. He had to throw out accusation that is yet to happen. Because that's the power of repentance. The church is to live in it. That's the purpose of the church. When we sit here and we talk about the Lord's Prayer is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I want you to pay attention that when the promise was there, no Canaanite could stop the Israelites from getting it. There was nobody in that land that could prevent them from taking the promise except them. Their walk with God determined if you could go forward or not. And they were in such rebellion that when he said go, they refused. And when he said you're not going, they went. But church, we need to demonstrate what repentance can do. True repentance. Getting out of your way so God can have His way. We cannot preach the power of the cross and then think I can preach it uncrucified. If I want to truly display the power of the cross, I have to display it through my life. Because it allows them to see Him. We are not here chasing after signs and wonders. But those that believe, these wonders shall follow. All these signs will follow. Now, there's organizations now who absolutely deny that God does any miracles. Oh, no. That was back then. He doesn't do them now. Well, first off, we're closer to the end than they were, which means I'm closer to the Antichrist than they were. I kind of need God's power, like they did at the very least. I need deliverance too. My kids need deliverance. This world needs deliverance. Oh, well, he doesn't do that. And the reason they'll say that is because they've never seen it. They've never heard it. They've never been shown. And so it's easier to say, well, God doesn't do that anymore than to ask yourself, why doesn't he do it with us? Self-examination hurts. Now, the UPCI, we're not like that. We believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. We do. Except our organization has a habit of loving conferences. Boy, we love some conferences. And you know why? Because we're going to get a big name. We're going to get Mark Morgan. We're going to get Lee Stonking. We're going to get an Eli Hernandez. Because I know that at that conference, here comes a man that actually walks at a level where the signs will follow. Now I'm excited. That's why I will get more excited over a conference than I will coming on Sunday. I'm more excited over the name preaching than the name being preached. And the purpose of the church is to show them God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. He wants you. He wants you to be saved. When people are like, why does he allow this evil to continue? Because he's waiting for you to come. If he steps in now, it's called judgment. And you're not going to enjoy this. The people who say only God can judge me, you don't want God to be your judge. You want him to be your advocate. Don't make God judge you. He has done everything in his power to try and not judge you. He is long-suffering. He is patient. He has taken the cross. He has risen from the grave. He doesn't want to judge you. Don't force him to judge you. And the world sits here and perverts the definition of words, such as love. The LGBTQ community has taken this word and has twisted its meaning. And I'm not picking on them. It's just an easy example. Because we can go with politicians on trust and honesty. But what they call is love isn't. It's not. And then they try and tell you under their own definition what it is to be a loving Christian. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't judge me. That's not true. That's not true. Because when Jesus beheld the rich man, it says he looked at him and he loved him. And the next thing was, one thing thou lackest. His love released correction. Why? Because the correction was an invite to come deeper. When I'm telling my kids, don't play in the road, it's not because I'm opposed to your fun. It's because I'm concerned for your safety. If I'm telling you what I see, it's because I'm concerned. And there are some, they don't like to hear it. I don't like to hear rebuke. But I will look you in the face and I will thank you. Because that's the purpose of the church, is to look out for one another. I will thank you. Now you're going to have to give me a couple minutes. Humility is not my go-to reaction. I'm not going to blow up on you, but you got to get, you know, you put steak on my plate, leave me alone and let me eat it. I got to chew this. Let me take it to prayer. Let me get my marine under control. Let's nail him back down. However, for those that are just waiting to pounce, I got you, that's not Christ-like. That's satanic. That's the enemy waiting for the opportunity. Oh, I found you now. You're not doing it to save me. You're not doing it to help me. You're not doing it to take me deeper. That's why this world is in such bad shape. When Jesus came, he preached repentance, and that was enough to upset people. It's like that again. You don't have to tell them they're sinners. You just have to tell them repent. You have to turn from this. That's enough to set people off. That's enough. That's how darkened the world is. That's simply telling you, you need to stop and come to Jesus, is enough to get people absolutely livid. But the purpose of the church is to let them know God is not who you've heard. He's not. He's not cruel. He loves you more than you know. Nobody loves you like Jesus does. And the church needs to understand we're not loved more than them. By obeying, we get in position of favor, but we are not loved more than that person. He loves them, and he wants them. Just as he wanted me. When God stepped into my apartment with that light and let me know He was real, it was not in judgment. It was not, how dare you, you wicked sinner. It was a love I've never felt in my life. It was a peace I've never known that no drug could ever mimic. It was a comfort and a welcome. It was an invite. I'm real, please come. And church, the purpose of the church is to realize that we needed Jesus. They need Jesus. And I ask people, could you save me? Would you be able to save yourself through your witness? Because the purpose of the church is to make sin feel uncomfortable. Sinners need to feel welcome to come. Sin should not feel welcome to stay. Why? Not because we hate you. God wishes to convict you of your sin so He doesn't have to later condemn you for your sin. It is better that we kill it now. When people are like, He loves me just as I am, He does. He does. But my goodness, He loves you so much not to leave you like that. He really does. And that's the purpose of the church. It says, you will know this is my church by how they love one another. And one of the cruelest things that can ever happen is Christianity loves to kill itself. We're the only ones that when people mess up and are wounded, we're coming right behind you and we're ending it. We want to talk about mercy and grace, but boy, oh boy. You know, there's something Brother Lama is just hammering on me. You need mercy and grace. Bro, you need mercy and grace. Because I just get into a war mentality. Let's go to war on this. He's like, no, no, no. Mercy and grace. I'm like, will you please stop? Double mercy and grace now. I'm like, oh, man. But do you know what it means that a man would look at my walk, understand where I want to go with him, and say, this thing you lack? If you want to follow Him at this level, this thing you lack. And then teach me how to pray. Teach me how to repent. Teach me how to do it. That's the purpose of the church, is to help one another. The purpose of the church is to become a light to a fallen world. We're here to help people. That's it. We're not here to be blessed so that I can have a bigger bank account, a bigger boat, and a bigger house. These things are nice. They're nice. I'm not preaching against them. But I'm telling you, there is more to this. There is more to this than let me have a nice bank statement. Because I get to walk with God in a capacity that you don't understand. Because the world needs to understand that our purpose is to walk into furnaces so that they can see He's real. When they told Nebuchadnezzar, we're not bowing. You can throw us in the fire, but you're not getting me to worship. Church, they can throw us in the fire, but it better not stop our walk. Because Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four walking. Don't let it stop your walk just because there's fire. Sometimes your trial is the greatest thing that's ever happened, because it becomes a place your enemy can't tread upon. Why are you going to let a lion's den disrupt your sleep and take your peace? Let the king worry about that. Because the people that are really watching the true Christians are going to wonder, is their God real? And they don't have the faith to go through that trial. So he looks to you and he says, you're my church. I need someone to demonstrate my greatness. I'm going to take you somewhere you wouldn't want to go. I'm going to put you through something you wouldn't want to do so that I can show them I'm real. That's the purpose of the church. To preach the gospel, the good news. The good news is not, as I hear in mainstream Christianity, well, we're going to turn America around. No, we're not. No, we're not. I've read the end of the book. No amount of our prayer stops what's coming. We win. The good news is there's an exit. We're leaving. We're not here to turn this world back. We're here to get people off of a sinking ship. This world's condemned already. It's okay. There's a new one. The only thing worth taking is souls. That's it. Everything else, that's not our purpose. And yet, with God, we have to remember loving Him first and foremost. That's the purpose of the church too. He told the church, you left your first love. Boy, we're here to love people, but we're here to love Him. First and foremost, you can't love people if you're not loving Him. You won't treat people better than you treat Jesus. You just won't. You don't want to spend time with Him? You won't want to really spend time with people. If all you ever do is talk about God, what you need, that's all people really are to you. It's what I need. You don't care about them. One of the things that we're here to do is occupy till He comes. And let me tell you, one of the things that God convicted me on this occupy is when I get a promise, do I occupy it till it comes? And what I mean by that is, and what was imparted and was stirred on me is, do you hold the hope and the joy when you received it? Or do you let that slip away? Because if I could open up my wallet right now and give you a lottery ticket, and I know none of us play the lottery, and you were the next Powerball winner and $1 billion, and I told you this is real, and the president signed off on it, the bank signed off on it, and they just told you, all you have to do is hold on to this ticket. You can't cash it until we say so. But when it comes time, it's yours. Boy, I'd be floating on air. I'd go to the gas pump with a smile from now on. Be like, oh, that ain't going to affect me. That ain't going to affect me. Oh, that small chump change. That's nothing. And yet Paul tries to get us to understand this with the purpose of the church. It won't even be counted worthy to talk about what we go through down here to what we're moving towards. And yet I have this promise of such great hope that I will let go away because I don't see it yet. I let the enemy take my joy. I let the enemy take my hope. And that's how he gets a hold of my promise, because I didn't occupy the space that God imparted it in. I came up here, He gave me an atmosphere, and I didn't pray for it, I didn't praise for it, I didn't maintain it, and all of a sudden it shrinks, and I'm like, why is it withering? But the purpose of the church is that when you go through the valley, you end up at a table that has been set for you in the midst of your enemies. Why? Not so that you can go to the sinners and say, look how great my life is. How's the crumbs down there? It's so that maybe they would catch the scent and they would want some too. If the bride and the spirit, if the spirit and the bride are supposed to be saying, those that athirst, come. Then should not the bride's purpose be, Lord, let them become thirsty? I need you to smell the water. What we have is life. Life and life more abundantly. And the purpose is to share it. To share it. That we can introduce life to people. And what's so amazing to me is that while the world has gotten darker, I would argue it's because belief has started to be released. Not faith, belief. Because people believe this is my identity. People believe this is the way we need to do things. People believe, and they adamantly believe, like I've never seen a generation really believe. Boy, they believe it. Which is an ingredient for us to be like, okay, you have belief. Let me preach the word so that you can hear, so that you can have faith. Let me show you that God is real. Because the signs that follow, they're not really meant for us. You shouldn't be looking for signs. You should be looking for his face. The signs are so that people who can't see him can clearly see who you're following because the evidence is there. And that's the purpose of the church, is to give him glory, is to give him honor, is to lay down our lives in a capacity that says, God, I have been bought at a price, and now I'm yours to do as you wish. And that is a hard thing to do. It's not easy. It's easy to give lip service. It's easy to just come to church. It's easy to be in attendance. It is hard to live, this is no longer my life. Lord, use it as you see fit. Writing God a blank check with your life, he's wrote that check on me a couple times. And it's never what I thought it would be. And then I'm trying to bounce it. But that's because my flesh gets in the way. But church, the purpose is so that we can come so close to God in relationship that you begin to see and hear. And you begin to speak. And when God's word goes out, nothing can stop it. Because we have a promise that has been going out since before COVID. God's going to do a harvest and it's going to be supernatural. Supernatural. That no man can boast. And many people have preached this. No man can boast. And so what have we done? We've increased the man programs. Well, maybe this will get them. Maybe this will get them. Maybe we should pray and do what he said. We have been told God is going to hand you over keys to congregations. What does he mean by that? Well, he must mean, you know, occasional, this one or that one. Well, why not a Muslim? Why not an AA building? Why not them? Why not the Narcotics Anonymous? Why not the Satanic Temple? But what we go to is, well, we want more building programs. Well, how about we ask, God, which building do you want us to have? Now, I'm not saying that for Sterling. I'm just saying that across the board because it's being preached across the nation. Because I'd love to start hearing some testimonies of some keys being handed over. This is the year of keys after all. But the purpose of the church is to hear, to see, and to speak it. To declare the will of the Lord and not my own. And church, He chose you. You did not choose Him. He created you. We did not make Him up. He desires that we're here. And so today, we're going to give Him praise. Today, we're going to love one another. Today, if we're hurting, we're going to declare it to a brother or sister that we can trust, and we're going to pray through this. There is no reason with the God that we have, we need to leave the way we came in if we're coming in struggling. Because the purpose of the church is to edify one another. Amen? Make sure you greet one another and get ready for some worship. Amen? In Jesus' name.